Enriched Life Media presents The Jesus Message. Today's message will inspire you to take a closer look at the one we call Savior, Jesus Christ. We invite you now to enter the drama, power, and hope of the ongoing story of truth with our speaker, Danny Hood.
Today I want to revisit It Takes a Mother from Judges 5 and 7 through 13. Verse 7 said, "The inhabitants of the villages ceased. They ceased in Israel until that I, Deborah, arose, that I arose a mother in Israel." I want to take you back to that ancient time, and I want to draw out the narrative for just a few minutes and then revisit these verses that I think have tremendous encouragement for us in these last days. It takes a mother in a world that's shifting, a culture that is sifting the fledgling minds and youthful hearts of the land under a dark and sinister demonic hand. It takes a mother who fills up the prayer wagon and slays the fiery sharp-toothed dragon to battle the chaos of confusion, the ongoing endless classroom delusion, the intolerance of biblical inclusion, the loneliness of the Christian institution. In the book of Judges, we read of the oppressive Canaanites who rule the idolatrous Jews, who once again have fallen. They are crawling and bawling like beggars again before a heathen king. Jabin has his chariots of iron and well-trained warriors who march with harmony of clanking armor and thundering footfall and faces of steel. They have a fierce and woeful will. They come to kill. As they march over the sun-baked sands and naked desert floors, there is an intimidating power that cannot be ignored. They are matchless in their militancy. Their manner is one of belligerency. There is no present army with equivalency. They are strong and stubborn and demon-powered. The chariot wheels whine and the muscular horses stretch, and the eerie shadows of this racing strength extend an elongated, twisted ink up the hillsides and along the dusty roads. There is trembling fear in all the country, in every village, and every abode. The burgeoning skies of necessary war exploded with sunlight. A dawn of change mingled with the blood of spite. This nation of idolatry, the Canaan king of wicked desire, kept the fearful villages of the border towns in oppression's mire, with imperious taxation on all their crops and crowns, with countless false idols imposing all eyes from sunup to sundown. The people have absorbed the deception. They love the lies. They give welcome reception, and no one even tries. They give in. They lay down. They refuse to stand. Paralyzed by the chains of peace, they open their doors and give release to foul spirits and demons and dogs who hate the truth and want to enslave the best of their youth, to serve their whims and hellish wishes, to serve as a slave whatever Satan dishes. Their passion dead, living in dread, can't find enough bread, for the gates are in constant attack. Who in this land will bring the glory of freedom back? But too many of the Jews gave way to ease and comfort in the restraints of the enemy. They should have resisted, fought back, dug in, entrenched for war. But instead they compromised. Soldiers mounted on their armored horses, beasts of battle, marching men through dust of morn, swords did rattle, each face set to confront the enemy from the night, each hand gripped firmly on the hilt of destiny's light. They will clash and struggle and push and pull against the foe. They will fall and rise and fall again as breath leaves the dying bodies trampled by hordes. No one grieves. The fowl of hunger wing on blood-soaked skies. They crave the fallen flesh where crimson streams run and creeks of desperation rise. The mud is too thick. The hillsides are too slick. The advanced machinery of chicanery is trapped in fear's delight. Mud-bound horses can't move. Slow-footed soldiers treading through flash-flooded swamps. Agility gone, the upper hand removed. They are shocked by the swarms of warriors descending on them. From the rocks and the caves and unseen shadows they appear. And the victors who should have been easily parading are now fading, their numbers dwindling fast in the waning day. The night comes quick, a blood moon of prophecy hangs, and away, away go the armies that should have won this conflict with ease. But God changed the atmosphere, and rain became Israel's ally. God would deny the lie that Israel would die and have to rely on the king of Canaan to scrape by. The river is now running, the blood is flowing, the dead are numerous. God has removed that which for his people was tumorous. The sun is shining, the dying are whining, the vultures are dining, and in the silver lining of Israel's refining, they are learning to trust God again. They are redefining their belief, their behavior, their future beckoning, for they have witnessed the miraculous terrain of the enemy's reckoning. Deliverance has come in the mud and blood. There is a flood of faith. The land will bud, and the God of Israel will be praised as a new standard is raised. The Kishon River, Kishon coming from a root word that means snare, to set a trap. This winding waterway flowed into the Mediterranean Sea, but on this day it flowed into the historical battles of divine infamy. For the snare, the scare, the stare of the divine eye upon heathen oppressors, their chariots were worthless, and victory came for the woman of God, the intercessor. Yes, it takes a mother to stand against the opinions of the minions, to stay on the right path, to fight against Satan's wrath. Yes, it takes a mother to fight for what is right. It takes a mother to cry out in prayer so we can fly out in the rapture. It takes a mother to show what a real woman looks like, acts like, talks like, lives like, prays like, serves like, sounds like. And of course, when I'm talking about it takes a mother, I'm talking about truly biological mothers. Mothers in the home, mothers in the church, mothers that stand by you in the community, those of true moral, decent reputation, those that stand to fight for what is right in this nation. And so I'm also talking about the spiritual mothers and the church of the living God, which is our spiritual Eve, the mother of all the living, all those that have been born again of the water and of the Spirit in a figurative sense. And when I go back and I look at Judges 5 and verse 7, when it says the inhabitants of the villages ceased, that means they had no heart to fight. They had no defense. They had no ability to resist. They ceased in Israel, the Bible said, until that I, Deborah, arose, that I arose a mother in Israel. First of all, it was a mother that got them to move. These who had been frozen by fear, these on the border towns that had been intimidated by Jabin, the king of Canaan, and by Sisera, the captain of the host, and by this indefatigable military that they could bring against them But she rose up, a woman of faith, a woman of desire, a woman of prayer, a woman of righteousness, to say, wait just a minute. We're not supposed to be servants. We serve the Lord. We are not slaves to heathen kings. We will not continue to be oppressed by the demonic agenda. There are too many in this hour that are paralyzed in fear. They are crippled between the opinions of the world and the conviction of the church. They stagger around intoxicated on the sensations and the entertainment values of the world, but they've lost their prayer. Their altar is broken down. Their spiritual fortitude is in disrepair. It seems like everything that was born of conviction and the power of the word has collapsed, and they're just barely crawling. But here rises a spiritual Deborah. And I pray that a spiritual Deborah will rise in your life, my friend. Maybe in your church, maybe in your city, maybe in your community, maybe on your job where you're battling all kinds of sinister demonic junk that goes on around you, the profanity and all of the terrible conversations and the things that are demeaning to the biblical principles that you live by. But here comes a spiritual infusion of a mother that can get you on the move, that can mobilize your faith, get you out of the traps, get you out of the religious ruts. Verse number 8 said, they chose new gods. Then was war in the gates. Was there a shield or spear seen among 40,000 in Israel? You see, my friend, there was no instrument, no weaponry. There were no munitions to resist. There was no desire to create these kinds defense mechanisms. They were just neutralized by these new gods. They were now weary with war in their gates, and they really just wanted whatever pseudo peace would satisfy them, whatever taxation they had to give in to, whatever demands of the heathen king upon their own children, upon their own lands, upon their own crops. They would give into this. But number two, what this mother did, she not only got them to move, she got them to militarize. She got them to rise up and begin to find weapons in the land, begin to bring a general named Barak together who would begin to call to Ephraim, who would begin to call to those who were strong and those who were motivated, those who were feeling the spark of the Spirit, those whose embers Deborah had stoked by the conviction and the fire that burned in her. And now the land is set ablaze and there's a movement taking place. And it took a mother. It took somebody with a spiritual insight. It took somebody with a refusal to give in to the chains of the past and to the oppression of demonic expectations. You see, I'm speaking to somebody right now that the demons in your life think that you're forever going to be addicted to that substance, that you are forever going to be angry about that thing that happened to you in the past, that you are forever going to abuse yourself because you are already condemned and full of shame. And so you live with a constant war in the gates. And where are the spiritual weapons to rise up and fight back? But the Church of the Living God, your spiritual mama, has intercessors in it, and they're going to get you, spiritually speaking, to militarize, to rise up, to realize that you do have some spiritual ammo, that you can bend your knees, you can cry out to God, you can lay on your face, you can begin to seek the Lord with all of your heart. And when God steps on the scene and begins to fight your battle for you, that's all the weapon that you really need. Verse number 9 said, my heart is toward the governors of Israel that offered themselves willingly among the people. Bless ye the Lord. Now think about it. These were political leaders. These were governors. These were city leaders. These were leaders of the home. And her heart had gone out to them because they had been sacrificing their real principles to follow after things that were corrupt and full of compromise and took away their true privileges as the children of Jehovah. So the third thing that she did here when it came to leaders in the land, This mother got them to measure up. She got them to get out of the dust. She got them to stop lowering the standard of truth and to raise up that flag as children of God again and to say, who are we? We are not slaves. We are servants of the Lord, and we're going to rise up. We're going to bring back a level of excellence. We're going to bring back this burning passion to do what is right in the land. And when the leaders do it, then the followers would do it. And when the men of the home will do it, then the wives and the children would do it. Verse number 10, she said, speak, ye that ride on white asses, ye that sit in judgment and walk by the way. You see, this is a verse that is talking about poor people and rich people. It was the rich people that are on the white donkeys, but it's the poor people that are simply walking by the way. And so the next thing that this mother did, this mother got them to merge different backgrounds, different things that have could have created bitter contrasts, that could have created all of this tension and strife and envy and jealousy in the land. No, no. When this mother arose, when the true spiritual purpose came to them, she got them to come together, the richest to the poorest. She got to be able to deliver a message to the enemies in the land that when we come for you, we are all coming together. All of our families are going to stand together. All of our communities and our towns and our villages are going to stand together, and God is going to give us the victory. You see, that's what makes the Church of the Living God so powerful. Is that we are multicultural, multigenerational, multi-ethnic, and even multi-religion. Because when you think about it, many that come into the Church of the Living God, they've come from all kinds of religious backgrounds. They've come from places that have told them that the Holy Ghost is not for them, that speaking in tongues is outdated, that God doesn't do miracles anymore, that we're supposed to just live in the apologetic memories of the history pages instead of a true apostolic manifestation in our present world. And so what God does through the spiritual mother, the Church of the Living God, he brings all of these backgrounds to take new ground. He brings us from the poorest to the highest of society and everywhere in between. No matter the color of the skin, no matter the financial background, no matter the mistakes or the successes, he brings us all together and we merge into this tremendous family and also this unstoppable force, this army of apostolic believers. That's what this mother did. And that's what the Church of the Living God, the spiritual mother, is doing in the last days. We are defeating division by rising up in unity. We are defeating every chasm and every schism in the church by a togetherness and by a oneness, because we come together. Verse number 11 says, they that are delivered from the noise of archers in the places of drawing water, there shall they rehearse the righteous acts of God, even the righteous acts toward the inhabitants of his villages in Israel. Then shall the people of the Lord go down to the gates. You see, what this scripture is explaining is that when they were under the oppression of this Canaanite king, that there were archers that were set up in strategic places and high points and mountainous watchtowers, and they would stand there like snipers. And if somebody from the village wanted to come out to certain places of drawing water, to these wells, and you see, wells were so important to Israel and to their agricultural symbolism of who they were and the crops that they would grow and the blessing of God upon their land. And yet, instead of this well being a place of gathering and festivities and rejoicing and of drinking water and refreshing themselves, they had to be scared after death to go out there and try to get a little sip of this well before an archer picked them off. But you know what this mother did? When Deborah arose and the boldness of Deborah was released, this mother brought back true meaning. These wells were not meant to be a place of danger, of desperation, a place where they could be killed or neutralized or eliminated for simply wanting to get a drink of water. No, she brought back the true meaning. It was going to be a place again where the people of God could gather around these wells. And like the scripture says, with joy shall they draw from the wells of salvation. I'm telling somebody today that you can come out of your desert of desperation and in these places where the old enemy of shame and accusation and condemning things of your past are trying to pick you off and shoot you through with the fiery darts. No, my friend, you have drunk from the well of everlasting water. You have drunk from the wells that bring joy and righteousness and peace in the Holy Ghost. That's the true meaning of the well. It's not a place for detritus to collect. It's not a place for bones and the carcasses of dead animals to be collected. No, friend, it's a place where you hoist down that bucket on that old ragged rope and bring up a big old pail full of water, and you refresh yourself and your families, and you're able to irrigate your crops, because it takes a revival of the well and somebody to bring back the true meaning. The scripture goes on to say in verse 12, awake, awake, Deborah. Awake, awake, utter a song. Arise, Barak, and lead thy captivity captive, thou son of Abinoam. Then he made him that remaineth have dominion over the nobles among the people. The Lord made me have dominion over the mighty. The last thing she did in this context, when Deborah rose as a mother in Israel, she not only got them to get on the move, she not only got them to militarize, to measure up, to merge their rich and poor people together and to bring true meaning back to the wells of the land, but lastly, she got them to have dominion. She brought back dominion, because dominion is rulership. Dominion is conquering power. Dominion is living in the privileges of the kingdom of God, knowing what is right and what is wrong, and worshiping the Lord God Jehovah, knowing that He was going to be their protector. He was going to be their shield. He was going to be their provider. He was going to sustain them in the hours of drought and famine, because they would get 30 and 60 and 100-fold blessings in their land. They would not be agriculturally crippled, but God would give them crops, and God would give them crowns, and God would show them a kindness that would reveal that they were the community of the Lord and they served in the kingdom of God. That, my friend, is dominion. When we truly operate in the dominion of the Spirit, we don't have to settle for the commentaries of men. We don't have to settle for the demonic agendas of the hour. We don't give in to those that are weak-minded and blind and have no spiritual vision in the church of the living God. No, my friend, when you truly have dominion, you're in a place where you can declare it and it will come to pass, because it's in alignment with the word. You can pray for people and they will be healed, because you are operating in the true liberty of the Spirit, that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. When the people of God have dominion, they're not second place. They're not backing down. They're not passively sneaking by the battle zones. No, my friend, they become the spiritual aggressors. That's why Jesus said the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church of the living God. And so I believe that the Lord is going to help somebody rise up today, that somebody is going to feel this ascending power, this elevating anointing, this resurrection of your faith that's maybe been buried in the cemeteries of past failure. You're going to rise up with a spirit of Deborah. You're going to rise up in a realm of that spiritual mother, the church of the living God, and you're going to begin to exercise the authority that the word of God gives you as a child of God, as an heir of God, as a joint heir hair of Christ, not walking along with sheepish apologies, but with bold expressions that this is what the Lord is going to do. This is what he said he would do, and we are going to illustrate it. We are going to demonstrate it. We are going to live by those divine instructions and inspirations and not back down, no matter how thick the darkness may seem in the last days. My friend, it takes a mother, and in this context, I'm talking about a spiritual mother, the church of the living God. Let us rise and do what God has commissioned us to do in this hour, in Jesus' name.
Hi, this is Lori Hood speaking on behalf of my husband, Danny Hood, for thejesusmessage.org. If you enjoyed today's message and wanted to know more and hear more, visit thejesusmessage.org. At The Jesus Message, you will find podcasts of messages to download, inspirational blogs to read, videos, and much more. Our speaker has written several books, including God's Time Zone. God's Time Zone will encourage you that it's never too late to dream, to trust God, and to see God in His timing to do what you never thought possible. Two other soul-stirring books are entitled The Desperation Zone, Where Storms Brew and Miracles Happen. This book will show you men and women just like you that overcame tragic and traumatic and trying events in their lives. The Desperation Zone focuses on the deep motivation of prayer and how God takes the debris of life and builds incredible testimonies. The other book is entitled The Impossibility Zone, Where Faith Triumphs. In this book, my husband visits the conquering lives of ordinary men and women of the Bible in contemporary times. The Impossibility Zone will put you in the valley with David as he defeats Goliath. In a widow woman's grieving world as the Savior changes a funeral to a celebration, and in everyday routine situations that show us God is truly near. Visit shop.thejesusmessage.com. That's shop.thejesusmessage.com and order one of these truly soul-stirring, inspirational books today. Also, if one of our podcasts has ministered to you or given you some light in a dark time, or if you have a specific prayer you would like for us to pray about, please let us know by sending an email on our contact page of thejesusmessage.org. We look forward to hearing from you. Have a wonderful, blessed day.
Friend, I want to thank you for listening to the Jesus Message today, and I certainly hope that you've been touched and inspired by what you've heard. And we want you to join us again next week when the story of the Bible continues, and you, my friend, are a part of that story.
Thank you for listening to the Jesus Message. It is our sincere prayer that you have been touched by today's message, and we invite you to join us again next week for another exciting presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For more information about the Jesus Message, visit thejesusmessage.com. That's thejesusmessage.com.